Please bow your head and pray in silence. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our last class of the morning. Let's all rise and sing hymn 2. Hymn number 2. Down and pray together and ask God to guide us. Please kneel down and pray together. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our study on the book of Nehemiah. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you, and observe your commandments. So after Nehemiah, pray with such love. And love is the main pipe to connect to the source. Then after that, the first word that came out of his mouth is to praise God. Even though the situation was not too good, right? Because the people under great distress and reproach, and the wall around Jerusalem are broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. Nevertheless, Nehemiah knew that God, he's a merciful God, he's a faithful God. Even though the people under great distress, even though the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, but if God is willing, he'll be able to restore it again. So the same thing for you and I. Never lose hope in our fellow brethren. Why? Because if we continue to love them and we pray for them, if God is willing, God also can restore them. Just like our church. For me, I never ever worry that the church one day will be gone. Why? Because this is the true church of God. Even though we seem that we are weak, even though it seems that we are down and out, but sooner or later, God will restore it. But make sure when he restores the church, you and I are still with the church. But right now is the waiting period. Right? And God's waiting for us to rise up and build. But first, we must have faith and to praise his name. That is our goal, right? The reason he created you and I is so we can praise his name. The reason he has called us to be chosen people is also to praise his name. And the reason why we worship him and serve him so we also can praise his name. But quite often, we don't praise his name, right? Because maybe the way we live our life is not worthy to praise his name. But we must change that mentality. We must change the way we are. Just like Nehemiah. Why was he the only one who was not under captivity, under the Babylonian? Why he's the one that lived in the palace? The Bible did not tell us the reason why, right? But whatever he did it the right way, according to God's will. So God be able to raise him up, right? To raise him up. No, I think the last time I shared with you that the month of Chislev is what? It's March, right? And I was wrong. It's not March. My niece, Paulina, pointed that out, right? The month of Chislev is November or December. Right? November, December. So it's still about 6 to 7 months that he prayed for, right? Until the month of July. But what does it truly mean to praise God? Because quite often many Christian denomination, right? Every time we say something, they always say, praise the Lord, right? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? Even our church, you know, quite often we're known as the Hallelujah Church, right? Because everywhere we go, whatever we do, we always say Hallelujah, right? And every time I go pick up, you know, like a minister from Taiwan and stuff like that, right? And most of the time they don't know what I look like, right? And I don't know what they look like. So at the airport, we see each other, say hallelujah, and it's hallelujah, and then say we know TJC members, right? So, but what does it truly mean to praise the Lord, right? Let's go to Revelation. Revelation, chapter 4. The book of Revelation, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 11. Actually, let's start from verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 11. Revelation, chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 11. Whenever the living creature give glory and honor and thanks to him who sit on the throne, who lives forever and ever, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you will they exist and were created. So we know during this time, John saw a door open in heaven. Right? As he entered his door, he see the 24 elders, the four living creatures, and their goal is just to praise God. How wonderful this is. I remember when my adopted father, right, was dying in hospital. And during the time he was not baptized yet. So because of that, Satan took his soul to Hades. And in Hades, he suffered so much, right? Why? Because even though he believed in God for many years, but he did not receive the right baptism. And he did not receive the Holy Spirit. So because of this, before he died, his soul went to hell. And in hell, he suffered so much. But then he shared with me why he was suffering. He saw a group of people in the distance. And all they do is sing hymns and praise God. And he shared with me, when they sing hymn and praise God, he felt there's so much joy, right, that they're having, just praising God. So during that time, he also wanted to go to the other side. Because he felt that they have so much joy, so much peace, so he wanted to go to the other side. But when he went forward trying to go to the other side, there's thousands of people in front of him. They also want to go to the other side, but they cannot. So we are so blessed among people. They will be able to come here to worship God and praise God. But what is the problem? The problem is that quite often you and I, our spirituality is not elevated enough to the point that we can truly see who God is. So that's why here, right? Chapter 4, verse 1. Before John can see the 24 elders and the four living creatures praising God, what did he see? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I look and behold, a door standing open in heaven. How many of us have seen this door open in heaven? Actually, we have seen it. Why? Because we are the chosen people of God. The day that we are baptized, this is a door that we should bring us to the heavenly kingdom. So the door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is very important, right? If we want to live a life to praise God, we truly must know who the God we worship. But how do we know? By being in the spirit. The door open for you and I. But we must make determination to always pray to God, just like John. When the door open, it doesn't mean John can enter automatically there. No. That's why in verse 2, we say, immediately I was in the spirit and behold a throne. So this morning we shared, right, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah also saw the throne. And this one sat on the throne, that is God himself. And God himself is the one that occupied that throne, and his glory filled the whole temple. But for us, when we come to church, quite often we don't feel anything. We don't experience anything. We never see that God is the one that's sitting on the throne. For me, if this church is not the true church of God, I would never ever become a pastor. If this church is not the true church of God, I'm not even become a member. For what? Right? When I went to the Greek Orthodox Church, right, everything was very nice, right? The priests, they speak in 4 or 5 different languages, right? And, you know, they wear some fancy clothing, right? And they have, you know, the church is so majestic looking, right? But why do I choose, right, to come to TJC? Even though my parents disowned me, right? My adopted parents disowned my wife and I because we got baptized in TJC. Because this is a true church of God. And the true church of God, the minute you enter through the door, there's one who's sitting on the throne. And who is this one? It's not you, it's not me, it's not anyone in church. It's God himself. Always remember that, right? Because someday when you become a council member, right, or you become deacons and deaconess, if you don't see God is the one that's sitting on a throne, and we ourselves will sit on the throne. And because of this, we think the church belongs to us, right? So whatever is going on in church, we're the one who want to control it. This is the wrong mentality. If we have that kind of mentality, sooner or later, God will cast us down just like Satan. Right? Satan, his number is 666, right? Why? Why is number 666? Why? Why do you think his number is 666? What do you guys think? Right. You guys awake? Why his number is 666? Because he's always wanted to be seven. He always wanted to be like God, but he cannot. Even though he can be 666666666, he can never be seven, right? Why? Because he's not. Why? Because his heart is always lifted up and want to be like God. So for you and I, if one day we occupy the throne, sooner or later, he will cast us down. Right? So you must live a heart of humility. It doesn't matter how gifted we are. Make sure we are not the one that's sitting on the throne. The minute we sit on the throne, no longer we can glorify and praise the name of God. Why? Because why not praise ourselves? If I'm sitting on a throne, who am I going to praise? Why? Because God no longer is there. This is very important, right? And then after he saw the one who sat on the throne, look at verse 3, right? And he who sat there was like a jasper and sat there a stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne and appearance like an emerald, right? So we can see. When we worship God, we have to know two things about God. And these two things is so crucial to our faith. That God, he is so glorious, right? When he sits on the throne, actually this throne is for judgment. But around the throne, he's so glorious, and also a rainbow around the throne, right? You say here, a rainbow around the throne. Why? Because that rainbow is God's grace, is God's mercy. Quite often, many Christians always preach God's grace and God's mercy. Right? Why? Why they never speak about God's judgment? Because they feel that God is love. And doesn't matter what happened, everyone who believes in him will be saved. Even though they commit sin, even though they practice homosexuality, they will be saved. This is not the right way to look at God. God, yes, he is love, but also he's just. If you and I commit sin, God will punish us for it because he is just. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross, because he is just. Because mankind have sinned against God, and the penalty of sin is death. Because that God is justice, right? But because he loved us so much, he sent his own begotten son, right, to die for us so his blood can purchase us from our sin. So everything in life is like this. So that's why when we talk about, you know, Christian in general nowadays, we always like to compromise, right? Look at Obama now, right? All of a sudden it comes out that he supports homosexuality, right? Just lately, recently, right? Because he know that the homosexual community have very strong voice for the next election, right? So that's why he comes out to say that kind of stuff, right? That's why in Canada nowadays, right? The whole nation, the whole country, right? If a church do not marry someone who, marry the same sex, you can be fined and put in prison. The world is all like this, right? And look at, in Asian countries, right? Especially Japan, right? Talking about homosexuality, right? Every time I see those animations, I don't know which one is a guy, which one is a girl, right? They all like, right? They all have the same hairdo, like this, like that, right? The same body type, right? You have no idea, right? The world, this is what the world is like, right? But for us, we always remember, God is just. When he say homosexuality is abomination, it's abomination. When he say adultery, right, is sin, it's a sin. When he say lying is a sin, it's sin. We always have to remember this. That's why we look at him, the one who sits on the throne, not you and I, not Obama, right? Not anyone in this world sitting on a throne, because throne is for judgment, and the judgment will come from God. Always remember this. So that's why for me as a TGSC minister, I feel very comforted, right? It doesn't matter what's going on. As long as I do my best to do the right thing, God always see, and God is always very fair. And your life's the same thing, right? It doesn't matter what other brother and sister, you know, have wronged you, do something wrong to you. God knows, right? If that's the case, it's very easy to forgive them, right? To let them go, it's okay. Because God, on the end, will reward you, right? Remember Joshua and Caleb, right? So out of that, how many people entered the land of the promised land? How many people? Huh? How many people come from Egypt, right? Enter the promised land? Two. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, quite often we always thought it was only two people, right? But the two people are those who fight in war, right? They are 21 and over, right? They fought in war, and I think about 400,000 of them, right? So even 400,000, two out of 400,000, is quite amazing, right? Very small percentage. But remember, right, Joshua and Caleb are the one who have such great faith. So when they went to spy the land, they came back and said, God already gave us this land. Let's take it over. But the other 10 tribes say, no, we are so small. We're just like grasshopper to them, right? But Joshua and Caleb suffer with the brethren for 40 years. But on the end, God remembered them, right? It seemed 40 years a long time, right? But on the end, God say, look, right? My servant Joshua and Caleb, they follow me wholeheartedly, right? So because of this, God blessed them with a bigger portion of the land. So don't worry. Anyone that do us wrong, it's okay. It's easy. We should be able to forgive them from our heart, because God is the one that's sitting on the throne. And he is just and he is merciful. Always remember that. So when John entered to this door, what did he see? He see God first. Then after he saw God first, in verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crown of gold on their heads. So in other words, when we come to church, brothers and sisters, if we want to live a life to praise God, the first thing we see is God himself. And after that, we see God's chosen people, the 24 elders. And these 24 elders, they sit what, in white robe. Then they had a crown on their head. This is very important to know also. The 24 elders are you and I. Right? Now really, the day that we are baptized, God gave us a white robe. Now let's think, are our robes still white? Or is it full of junk on it already, right? You know, brothers, how many of you do laundry? You do your own laundry? Oh, quite a bit, right? Do you mix white with other colors? You do that, right? Then when you do that, the white can never become really white anymore, right? When you mix colors, actually the white can never be the white when it used to be, right? Quite often, spiritually speaking, we have to be very careful. Why? Because if he mixes white garment with anything else in this world, then the whiteness can never come out the way it is. Right? So that's why now, right? Maybe a garment is not white, but let's try to make it white so become like the 24 elders, right? And look at verse 5. And from the throne proceed lightning, thundering, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So in front of the throne is always praying. This is the way we are, right? This is how we praise God. Pray before God. Praising God. And then look at verse 6. Before the throne, it was like a sea of glass, like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes and in front and in back. The sea of glass. So if before the throne, there's always lightning, thundering, this represents prayer. And when there's prayer, and then in front of the throne, there's also be sea of glass. What does sea of glass mean? Who lives next to the ocean? And who have seen the ocean? Many of you have seen the ocean, right? Brother, what? You ever see a sea of glass before? The sea is like a glass. What's that? Yeah, see the lake like that, right? Lake is like a sea, not the sea. The sea is always big waves, right? Actually, the sea represents this world. But when we live a life of prayer, the sea is like a sea of glass. It's always full of peace. Any sea you go to, you can never see like a sea of glass, only lake, right? Because the sea is very powerful. It's always waves, always something going on. But if our Lord Jesus Christ, we always pray before him, it will become like a sea of glass, full of peace. There's no wonder the four living creatures, 24 elders, can praise the name of God. Then, of course, there's four living creatures. They also have, you know, they have six wings also, right? And they have eyes within and without. They are full of wisdom. So what I'm trying to say to you, that if we want to live a life to praise God always, we must be in the Spirit and be filled with God's Spirit. Be full of wisdom, full of power, and only then we can see how awesome our God is. Then for us to praise him is no problem at all. It's no problem at all. But nowadays, yes, we want to praise God, but we do not know how. Right. And we want to praise God, but what's the reason why we want to praise him? It seems, you know, when we pray, when we read God's word, it seems there's nothing living. Everything is dead. Then we must go back, right? Let's go back to Nehemiah. Go back to Nehemiah. Chapter 1. No, we know that Nehemiah is only by himself, right? And even though he's by himself, yes, in the beginning, he must gain favor from the king. But after he gained favor from the king, he knew he cannot do everything himself. And also remember that. Someday, maybe one of you become a pastor, right? And you become the chair of the church. You always remember, you always need co-workers. You cannot do everything yourself, just like Nehemiah. So when Nehemiah prayed to God, right, when he heard what's going on, he praised the name of God. And then look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliasib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. Then verse 2. Next to Eliasib, the men of Jericho built, verse 4. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Urijah, verse 5. Next to them, the Tekoites, right, the Tekoites, make repairs, verse 7. And next to them, and then verse 8, next to him, verse 9. Next to them, verse 10, next to them, right? It's like a domino effect. But where does it start? From the high priest, right, the spiritual leaders. So one day, really, when you become the chair, when you become a council member, you must be the first one to go to church to pray. You must be the first one to use the word of God to comfort others. But if you, leader of the church, do not do that, then don't expect the congregation to do that. Especially when you are IE teachers. Sometimes we take the IE position to be too lightly. Sometimes, you know, our life is so worldly, right? And sometimes we even share worldly things with the students. Right? And the time, you know, the morning prayer for church, we don't come to pray. Then sometimes we only come to church when we have assignment to teach. Those kind of stuff is not good. Those kind of stuff is not good. When you're an IE teacher, any kind of position in church, even if you're just a brethren, you have nothing to do, you come to church to pray. This is trying to be the leader, right? To sparkle others who are weak in faith. So you can see when the high priest starts to build his wall, his gate, then next to him, there's another person. Next to him, another person. Next to him, another person. So sometimes the church only needs a little spark, right? To get the fire going. And it's true. Maybe that spark is from you, right? Don't think that you guys are young. Even if you pray to God and stuff like that, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. So always realize that. But when you start to pray to God, right, you also have to remember one other thing, that Satan will come trying to destroy you. Don't think when you come to church and you know, your life is good, nothing's going on with your life, that everything is good. Quite often, it's not that way. If you truly serve God, right, you pray for the chosen people of God, you pray for church, Satan would not like it. Because Satan will not like it, will come and try to bother you. Look at verse 10, right? Chapter 2, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed. Then a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Can you imagine this, right? Why he said he was deeply disturbed? Why? Because there's a man, right, come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So in other words, all this time, nobody seek the well-being of the chosen people of God, only Nehemiah. So this is very important, right? So the minute if you have compassion, you care for the chosen people of God, for the church, then Satan right away will come and try to disturb you, right? Really, sometimes Satan will bother you so much that you lose courage, right? But when we look at it, look, right? First, only Sanballat and Tobiah, right? But look at verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and now, look, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, so now the enemy is even more. Why the enemy is even more. Okay. And then look at verse chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Verse 2. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these fabled Jews doing? So now not only two of them, not only three of them, now they have the whole army to go against the chosen people of God. So don't be surprised. Right? Don't be surprised. When you try to do things for God, and Satan knows that you try to do things for God, and Satan will try to bother you, right? He will bring many enemies go against you. Sometimes the enemies is your own brothers and sisters, right? They will try to discourage you, right? And sometimes, of course, your enemy will be your parents when you want to do something good. It doesn't matter. Satan will use everybody to try to distract us. What kind of distraction does he do? Look at verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19, right? Chapter 2, verse 19, 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? Verse 20. So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. So here, what did Tobiah and Sanballat and Geshem try to do? What did they try to do here? What did they try to do? What did he try to do? What did he try to do? Here, right in verse 19. What did he try to do? You guys can just answer, right? I have to call names. Dustin Chen. Who's Dustin Chen? Dustin? Oh. Are you guys all asleep or what? Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. Are all of you guys opening your Bible? So here, right? They laugh at us and despise us, right? They laugh at us and despise us. And then they say, look, what, you guys gonna rebel against the king? Right? So here, actually, is an old trick, right? Because when we have the heart to do something, Satan always wanna make us lose heart, right? By doing what? By laugh at us, right? By despise us. So because of this, then we have no heart to do it anymore, right? And quite often, when we try to do something good, Satan will use other people, maybe even to despise us, laugh at us. And then we have no more heart to do it. Right? Quite often this happens. But you always remember Satan's trick, right? The first thing he tried to do is make us lose heart, so we don't want to serve God anymore. That's why many brethren, they are burned out, right? Burned out. Why? Because they try and try and try and then see things not changing. Then they lose heart and then they don't want to serve God anymore. But that's Satan's trick, right? And then look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 3. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocking the Jews, verse 2. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete in a day? Will they revive the stone from the heap of rubbish, stones that are burned? Verse 3. Now Tobiah Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down the stone wall. Right? Here. So once again, what is enemy trying to do? Right? Try to do. So first, want us to lose heart, right? And second, here, he tried to discourage us from doing it. Say, here, look, even you rebuild it, right? It doesn't matter. Even a little fox go on top of it, it will break. So in other words, your labor is in vain. So why do it, right? So sometimes the same thing, right? Sometimes people say, why you guys go to NYTS, right? You go to NYTS, yeah, 2 weeks, you're all spiritually high. Then you go back home, right? After maybe a week, 2 weeks, then that's it. You're no longer spiritually high, right? But don't be discouraged. Right? Maybe this NYTS is the NYTS that God move your heart mightily, then you make transformation in your lives. But you don't know, right? Maybe one of the SSC you go to, right? And be a counselor. Maybe that SSC will, you know, change the way you live your life. But don't let Satan discourage us, right? Look, our church, it doesn't matter how many people bring in. Sooner or later, they will leave the church. So what's the point? Don't need to preach, right? Don't need to go out. So this kind of discouragement that Satan will put inside our hearts and whisper in our ears. But don't listen to him. Because Satan is the father of liars. Everything he said is a lie. So that's why here, even Satan, right, the enemy of Nehemiah, discouraged them. And tried to, look, even you try to do it, it doesn't matter. Are you going to finish it? If you finish it, it doesn't matter. And then look at verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8. And all of them conspire together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Now they're getting very violent, right? Before, they only say words, right, to discourage, to lose heart. But now they come to to attack, also to create confusion. This is Satan's old trick. When you and I start to rebuild something, to do something good, Satan always confuses brothers and sisters. When we become confused, then what? We end up arguing one another, fighting one another. Then we know this from Satan, right? But look at, if we go back to chapter 2, verse 20, right? Chapter 2, verse 20. Every time the enemy come upon them, what did Nehemiah do? Look at chapter 2, verse 20. So he answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servant, will rise and build." Right? So here, Nehemiah never lose the sight of God. Even though they come and try to make them lose heart, but he said, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us this day." Then look at the same thing, right? Chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity." Right? Here, when he heard this thing, that people might become discouraged. And then Nehemiah said, "Hear, O our God." Because they despise us, so he wants God to be with him. Look at verse 6. "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Right? And then look at verse 8. "And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion." But look at verse 9. "Nevertheless, we make our prayer to our God." This is very, very important. It doesn't matter what's going on in church. We always should keep our eyes on God himself. Because God, he will give us victory over enemy. That if we are connected to him, if we are willing to serve him, that's why Nehemiah built to build the whole wall. Because God was with him and scattered all his enemy. So never lose hope. Never feel discouraged. And when there's confusion going on, we must pray to God that God can make everyone become clear-minded and to do and seek the will of God. Let us kneel down and pray together and give thanks for all the classes this morning. Kneel down and pray together.